saw people helping others. It was quite remarkable, wasn't it? And what is happening all over the world, again, as the million has reminded us, is happening now right on our doorstep. And so we need to look together. You know, I've got a real shock on Thursday because Emilian rang me up and or sent me an email and suggested perhaps I change what I should say because of this particular stress and emphasis. I've been working hard for 2 weeks on this message, and it was a bit of a shock to learn on Thursday maybe I shouldn't preach it. But I said to Emilian, I came to see him, I said, well, it's all about love. So he said, well, okay, that's all right. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 14. You know, it's a passage I have never preached from. I've always been very reluctant to try to preach from. It is so rich and so deep. But the spirit that we've seen in Manchester, we need to pray earnestly that it will be the Holy Spirit who comes increasingly into people's lives. I've lived with this passage for 2 weeks, as I say. It's so deep and so wondrous, it's beyond understanding. It's a pinnacle of the New Testament. So let's look at it together. Let's eagerly begin to look at this passage, even though I'm very nervous about doing so. For this reason, verse 14, well, whenever you see that, or the word therefore, you've got to look behind it. For this reason, for what reason? Well, it's because it refers to chapter 2, where Jew and Gentile both have access to the Father. It's an amazing fact. They are members of God's household. They're a dwelling in which God dwells by his Spirit. And for this reason, Paul says, I'm praying for you. I kneel before the Father. I don't think he actually did kneel. Perhaps he did. Some people kneel to pray. Some people stand to pray. Some people sit to pray. But what we need is this reverence to kneel before the Father. Verse 15. Notice, he's the Father from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Well, what is the family in heaven? Are they angels and archangels? Are they perhaps those who have gone before, believers who have already gone into glory? Is that the Father's family in heaven? The Father's family on earth is God's household. That's all of us believers, a whole family of believers in every denomination, in every country, in every circumstance. We're kneeling before the Father from whom the whole family on heaven, in heaven and on earth derives its name. Jew and Gentile, all denominations. So let's look at the first part of his prayer. I pray that, verse 16. What does he pray? Paul prays an astounding prayer for the Father's family on earth. The sublime heights of this revelation. First of all, for God to act. That's his first part of the prayer, for God to act. Out of his glorious riches, says the NIV. I understand the Greek is more like according to the wealth of his glory. God will act according to his wealth. You know, I remember years ago hearing a story of a rich man. I think he was in America, it doesn't matter, could have been anywhere. He had on his wall of his home this text. My God, and he said, my God shall supply all your need out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And someone came to him and said, I wouldn't hang that text up in my house. Oh, he said, is that right? Oh, I think it's a wonderful text. Yes, he said, but it isn't right. It's according to his riches, not out of. He said, well, what's the difference? And the man said, I'll tell you what the difference is. If a beggar comes to your house tomorrow morning and you give him out of your riches, he will go away and beg again. If you give him according to your riches, he will never beg again. God gives to us according to his riches in glory, the wealth of his glory. The treasures, the resources are unlimited. Hold that. The resources are unlimited. For God to act, yes, but Paul prays that we will have faith. For us to have faith, for us to act. And this is the reason why, as I presume, this passage has been included in our series on faith. Because our faith opens up to us, or opens us up to, he, the Father, may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Faith, our faith in Jesus, opens us up to God working, the Father sending the Holy Spirit, and Christ coming to dwell in our lives. The Father to strengthen us with power. And the power is unstoppable. The resources are unlimited. The power is unstoppable. The resources are unlimited. The power, and look at this, the dwelling is unbelievable. That Father may strengthen you through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Did you know that's what your faith has opened you up to? That the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, will send his Spirit into your heart, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself will come and dwell in your heart through faith. The word dwell there means he'll settle down. He'll feel completely at home. How can the Lord Jesus feel completely at home in my heart? If we make room for the Holy Spirit in our hearts, the Holy Spirit will make room for Jesus, who will feel completely at home in our heart. And there are so many things that would keep the Lord Jesus from feeling at home in our hearts, aren't there? And Manchester, what's happened in Manchester is just an example. What's happening all over the world is just an example. But bring it right home to our lives, our hearts. What is it in my heart, in my inner being, that stops Jesus feeling completely at home, dwelling, making his home in my heart? And so the Holy Spirit has to take certain things out of our lives. You know what those things are in your life. I know the things that he needs to take out of my life. You know the particular sins that are there. You know the particular problems that exist. You know why it is that Jesus feels uncomfortable as he dwells in your heart by faith. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, making their home in us. This is why I say this is the pinnacle of the New Testament. This is why I say this is beyond our understanding. This is why I'm afraid to speak about it, but it's the truth. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in our hearts. You need to look at John to see the same truth, of course. John 14, my Father, says Jesus, will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The dwelling of God is unbelievable, isn't it? The second part of his prayer begins in the second part of verse 17. That was wonderful enough, wasn't it? That was amazing. But hey, now look how he goes on in the second part of his prayer. I pray, says Paul, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Now this is our love for Christ. This is our love for the one who's dwelling in our hearts, that we might be rooted in love like a tree with its roots down, so that when the storms come we don't wither and we don't die and we don't come crashing down. We're rooted in our love for Jesus, and we're also grounded, established or grounded in his love, like a foundation of a building. It's so strong that we're not going to give up and be like a house on the sand. This is Paul's prayer, the second part of his prayer, that our love for Christ might be rooted and grounded in love. That was our love for Christ. Now let us see how it's now moved to the love of Christ in this prayer. Verse 18. That we may have power together with all the saints, that is the whole family of believers. This is not just for LBC. This is not just for us personally. This is for every believer in every country, in every age, that we may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. These words are way beyond us, aren't they? They're indescribable. The word grasp is not just to understand, it's to lay hold of, it's to seize these words. The love of Christ is way beyond measuring. That we grasp the love of Christ, which is beyond measuring. Height, length, breadth, depth. You know, Paul just can't find words to express the wonder of the love of Christ. It's beyond measuring. Don't try and say, well, what does the height mean? What does the depth mean? Of course, you can say that if you like, but what it's really saying is it's beyond any measure. This is the love of Christ. And we need to grasp it, to lay hold of it. Verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I'm always puzzled about that, haven't you? How can you know something which is unknowable? Well, the word here, I think, is more surpass. It's more that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. There's more beyond. There's always more beyond in the love of God. We need to know that, to grasp that, which is beyond measuring and which is beyond knowing. It's beyond knowing. It isn't unknowable, it's just beyond knowing. It's kind of unsurpassed. It's being surpassed every day. The Lord, the love of Christ, beyond measuring and beyond knowing. There's always more to be experienced of the oceans of God's love, which have not been touched in our lives yet. You know, I think, I was reminded of these words written on the walls of a prisoner in a cell. I don't know who the prisoner was. I remember Bev Shea singing this in the days of the Billy Graham Crusades. That dates me, doesn't it? But some of you will remember those days when Bev Shea was singing beautifully about the love of God. I can hear him now. And this is what he was singing. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? These were words written in a prison cell on the wall. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Wow. It's unmeasurable. Grasp it. It's his love in us, not our love for him. It's his love for us. And that, again, we've been reminded this morning. Not only did Emilian remind us of the time in Joss when he and I were just saved by a moment or two, really, from being blown up by a suicide bomber, but also these hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, even today, this week, and there will be next week, people being blown up, as we saw in Manchester on Monday. And yet the stories, if you read the stories of persecuted Christians, if you read the stories of what is happening amongst these people who are so persecuted and so hated, they never ever ask for the experience to be taken away. They only ask that the love of God will be seen in their circumstances. So we need to pray that those in Manchester, not only those who were the victims, but those who were the perpetrators. And as we think about the world of Islam, and I confess to you, I find it very difficult because I'm moving all the time amongst this hatred. And we worked for all those years and we didn't see any come to Christ from Islam, or just a handful. But we have in our congregation this morning, and they've been part of our church for many weeks now, some from Iran. And if you go to Iran, the church is growing and growing and growing. It's the fastest growing church in the world. Iran, with all its hatred and all its conniving to cause this distress. We need to pray. And when you ask Iranian Christians what it is that drew them to Christ, almost all of them say, it was the love that I saw in Christian people. Can that be true for Manchester? Can that be true for LBC? Could that be true for Lancaster? That why Muslims come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior is because they see the love of Christ in our lives, dwelling in our hearts, feeling at home in our heart. So that when we are persecuted, when we are dismayed, when we are suffering, when we are going through difficult times, what comes out is love. It's the pinnacle of the prayer that we now come to. If that wasn't enough, you can see why I hesitated to speak about this passage. I only did because it was the passage I was given. Second part of verse 19. And here it is. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. How can we take it in? How can we understand that we will be filled with all the fullness of God? I have just two thoughts, maybe. It may help, I don't know. First one is, we are filled to the measure of the fullness of God, and God is love. That is his characteristic. That is his primary characteristic. He is love. And if he's dwelling in our hearts, we are filled with the love of God. And the second thought, with which I finish. The fullness of God is Jesus. He is the fullness. Colossians 1:19, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Chapter 2, verse 9. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The love of Christ in you, dwelling in your heart, feeling at home in your heart and life, being demonstrated as people pummel you and punch you. As I walked into the church this morning, Andy was there and he was talking to somebody. He did this with his elbow and he punched me in the ribs. And I said, Andy, was that intentional? That was that something you had in mind? Of course it wasn't. But sometimes people do have nasty things in their minds, don't they? How do we react? What do they see? What do they hear? Is it love? We are filled with Christ to the measure we make room for him. And I realized this as I was coming to the end of my meditation and my grappling with it, and I suddenly realized something. I want to share this with you too as I close. That we grasp the love of Christ, which is beyond measuring, we've already looked at. That we know the love of Christ, which is beyond knowing. That we be filled, and here it comes, that we be filled with the fullness of Christ, which is for sharing. And it suddenly, I was realizing, this is really, now I begin to, in a small way, understand. I'm filled with the fullness of God. Some people try and talk about it, and they talk about blowing up a balloon. Have you heard that illustration? How can you be filled if you're already full? Well, of course, if you're taking a balloon and you're blowing into it, it's already full, but then it gets fuller. Yes, but then what happens? You keep on blowing to that balloon. So I think there's more to it, and this is what came home to my heart, and it kind of reassured me, because it's something I've known and sought to live by all my life. That as God pours himself in all his fullness through the Holy Spirit into my heart and life, I don't hold it in for myself. That's the problem. We are so self-centered. There's so much in our hearts and lives that has to make room for the Christ. And as God goes pouring his love into my heart, so it pours out for others. It's part of my testimony. It's what I long for. The love of Christ beyond measuring, which surpasses beyond knowing, fills us to the measure of the fullness of God, goes on filling us as this love, his love, pours out for others. That's the spirit that we need to see in Manchester. That's the spirit we need to see in LBC. That's the spirit we need to see increasingly, that God fills us. Jesus comes and dwells in our hearts, and he is love. And this love is so filling us that it pours out, it overflows, it spills out for others. Then he'll go on filling us to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we have come to this passage with great wonder and with great trembling. And Lord, even trying to understand it phrase by phrase and sentence by sentence, it can almost detract from the glory of it. We pray that we might understand this pinnacle of your revelation. Father God, you're in us. Holy Spirit, you're in us. Lord Jesus Christ, you're dwelling in our hearts by faith. Now may that love, which is unknowable, which is ever expanding, ever surpassing, and may this love, which has no measure, may this love pour out of our being as we suffer with those who suffer, as we take place alongside those who are being persecuted, those who are being hated for Christ's sake, as we live our lives day to day in Lancaster, with all the knocks, all the elbows in our side, that all that will be seen, all that will come pouring out, is love, the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we can sing the last hymn, which is, O love that will not let me go. This is written by this man who just had such a terrific loss in his life. O love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths, you see, this is it we've been talking about, this, in thine ocean depths, its flow for others, may richer, fuller be. Let's sing this prayerfully then as we come to the end of our service. Thank you.